On today's episode of the Trade Busters podcast, we're going to talk about knowing your edge. Now, this statement on the face may seem quite obvious, right? Because we've all heard that you need an edge when you're trading to make money. But what I found is that oftentimes, a lot of traders, when they're trying to find a strategy, or when they're developing one, or trying to talk about adjustments, they often will lose sight of where the edge is coming from. And what that's going to do, there's going to be two results. One is either you're going to have a strategy that fundamentally should not work, right? There's no edge. You shouldn't make any money. But due to some kind of recency bias or, you know, looking at a small sample, they think it makes money. And so they run the strategy only to find out really that it doesn't work. Now, the other thing that can happen is there may be some strategy that does work, but you run into a rough patch, or, you know, all strategies go through rough patches and drawdowns. And as soon as something doesn't work, if you don't understand or know where the edge is, you don't have conviction, and thus you won't have the ability to trade through those drawdowns in rough times if you don't have a very good foundational understanding of where the edge is from. So what I wanted to do was kind of make a series of episodes about edge, you know, how to identify it, things that can counteract edge, and things to look out for and be mindful of when you're developing or trying to research new strategies. And so this is kind of the first episode in that series, and I call it First Principles, or the title of the episode will be First Principles, Know Your Edge, because the idea is you want to be able to really kind of drill down to fundamental principles and aspects that will be kind of the cornerstones of your knowledge, your understanding, and your conviction. And so one thing I want to kind of make reference to and kind of understand the nature of edge, there's a paper by Michael Mauboussin called Who is on the Other Side? And I'm going to link the paper in the show notes, but he essentially breaks down edge into four main categories, which I'm going to paraphrase, so don't quote me. Feel free to read the paper. But essentially, four categories of where you can get edge is behavioral, informational, analytical, and technical. And so just high level, behavioral edge comes from the fact that humans are subject to emotion and therefore can act irrationally or in times or act in a way that causes price to deviate from kind of the true value, right? So people panic sell at the bottom, or they get FOMO and kind of buy when it's not a good time, for instance. And these kind of behavioral aspects can cause prices to deviate. And therefore, this is something you can take advantage of. And real quick, I'm just kind of highlighting these. I'm not going to dive into like how to exploit these per se, but this is just more to kind of give you the mindset and the background. So informational edge, this is kind of more straightforward, right? This is some information you have that it's not necessarily, you know, private, right? We're not talking about insider trading, but looking for alternative sources of data. Like he had an example in the paper of people looking at satellite images to count cars in a parking lot to see the traffic of a store to try and guess if this store is going to have good earnings or not. And so these are kind of things where you can put in the work to find or develop information that is not easily accessible to the general public, and that will give you an edge, right? Because that will kind of tell you where to position your trades. Next is analytical, and that's the ability to analyze data that's public, right? Readily available data, and analyze it in a way that gives you some signal, right? Or generates something that will give you an advantage over kind of other people who have that knowledge. And then lastly is technical edge. And this one, he kind of describes it as taking advantage of kind of forced behavior, like a forced seller or a forced buyer, and, you know, following fund flows. For example, funds that have a mandate to increase allocation based on monthly inflows, for example. So that forced inflow may cause the price to go up, and then when there's a outflow, they have to sell, therefore prices go down. And kind of knowing these flows, there may be ways to take advantage of that and get another edge. So I think for me, in kind of the strategies that I have, taught on this podcast and kind of follow, primarily are drawn from VRP, right? Volatility risk premium. And that's, you know, you guys know this, the idea that over time, generally, options are overpriced, right? So you can kind of capture that difference between implied volatility and realized volatility. Now, if I were going to put that in a category, I may put that in the category of behavior edge, for instance, right? Because this idea that people have fear, right? So they're irrational. And so they may kind of overprice or overpay for options or that insurance protection due to their kind of irrational fear, or just maybe the fact that you can't perfectly price volatility or uncertainty, right? So VRP is kind of one of the most fundamental edges that I think has been around for a long time and will be around for a long time. And there's also things like, you know, equity risk premium, which is kind of, if you want to put a shorthand, just that stocks always go up, right? There's a risk that you have, that you take for owning stocks, and the risk that you take is rewarded by that kind of positive drift and that return that you expect over risk-free rate. So, you know, there's different categories of edge, and there's different ways that the edge is expressed. Now, again, coming back, I think VRP is one of the most fundamental ones, where a lot of the strategies we trade, regardless of if we realize it or not, can be traced back to the VRP, right? So if you trade a naked strangle, right? You're selling options, so inherently there's, you know, if you believe there's VRP. Now, yes, there's all those talks about adjustments and rolling, or if you, you know, if the stock moves up and you're challenged, you adjust the delta, right? You have a 16 delta put and it goes to 30, you roll it out, bring the delta down. All these different things that you may incorrectly attribute to the reason you're making money, right? These adjustments at the end of the day are just ways to manage the risk. The actual edge, the driver of P&L, is still going to be fundamentally that volatility risk premium, right? Unless you have some actual signal. And you know, I don't have any specific examples, just, you know, something you got either from informational edge, analytical, or something you can get that meaningfully increases your P&L over kind of that raw edge. And one thing I want to point out is oftentimes the lack or the presence or lack of a signal is conflated with risk management as kind of increasing the P&L. Now, in a later episode, I'm going to talk about how risk and volatility drag can sort of go against your edge. But needless to say, the point I want to make now is oftentimes you might conflate, hey, I did these steps and therefore I made money, and think that it's these mechanics or there's some magic to the steps you take, right? And what I'm trying to say is, first, you have to have an edge. But you need risk management to sort of safely harness that edge. So if there's no edge to begin with, then no amount of risk management is necessarily going to, or in fact, no amount of risk management is going to create edge or create profit, right? In that case, if the structure or strategy or whatever inherently has no edge, then it's going to rely on a signal or something to kind of add value and generate the P&L. So one thing else to think about that kind of helps kind of think this through is, if you guys haven't already or if you've forgotten, I would suggest you go back and listen to episode 26, which is called Building Conviction by Identifying the Bag Holder. And actually, the funny thing is this, the topic, if you think about the paper that I just mentioned by Michael Mobison, who's called Who is on the Other Side, right? It's this idea that you want to recognize literally who is taking the other side of your trade. Because if you know who is on the other side, I mean, figuratively, not literally, but, and you kind of know their motives, you can sort of infer whether or not you're gaining an edge, either informational, analytical, technical, whatever, behavioral, and you have a better picture, right? At the end of the day, the whole point is to drive conviction. Because I've mentioned many times, like, knowledge is conviction. And conviction is what ultimately allows you to continue to execute day in and day out your strategy through good times and bad. So kind of just to wrap up again, this idea is that when you are trading a strategy or thinking about your strategy or trying to find new strategies, you want to always think about and be mindful of why should the strategy make money? You know, AKA, why is there edge? Where is that edge coming from? Now, I threw out a few examples earlier, and you know, a lot of these kind of things may be outside the scope or outside the ability. Like, I'm not kind of inclined to go and mine alternative data or go look at satellite images or whatever, you know, to try to get some fundamental understanding of, you know, a stock or a company or whatever it is. I've said this before. I really believe that VRP is this sort of primary driver of the profits of, you know, basically all the strategies that I run. And the different strategies are just kind of different flavors. Like the edge is the same, but ultimately I'm kind of crafting different strategies with different mechanics to carve out that little bit of VRP in different regimes, right? So if you have, let's take Data Engine, for example, you know, daily put selling. So very clearly, it's a bullish strategy, right? And I should mention, the reason Data Engine is so robust is because you're getting volatility risk premium and equity risk premium, right? You have the beta. Now, for better or for worse, right? Because Data Engine is correlated to the market crashes, you're going to take losses, right? And that's just the trade-off. But that strategy is very robust is because you basically have two sources of edge, right? You get the beta and the alpha. And that's why, you know, time and time again, through the years, you guys have followed the studies, the PCR has been very solid. The performance is solid on a long-term basis. Obviously, there's up and down years. But that strategy is going to do well in an up market, not so well in a down market. And that's just by design. And if you're doing kind of a strangle strategy, well, you're going to have less correlation. It's delta neutral, and there's benefits there. But you're also going to, you know, you're prone to whipsaws. You're going to get tested no matter what kind of market. And so if you're delta neutral, you're going to profit more when volatility is more overstated, right? And you're going to lose money when it's understated, right? When volatility implied is understated and realized volatility is greater. So the thing is that, like, as long as you are aware of where the edge is from, in this case, most of the time it's VRP. Now, if you have other ways to develop edge or other sources of edge, that's great, right? But the key is to always be aware of where that is so that when you're trying to trade or develop a strategy, you don't fall in the trap of thinking there's some magic to mechanic ABC, rolling this, adjusting this, when really there isn't, right? And there's other kind of nuances and pitfalls about that, which are going to come up in an upcoming episode. But I think that's kind of the concept that I wanted to drive home today. So let's leave it there. As always, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please do take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can visit my trading page at www.thetradebusters.com, where you'll find all this, you know, strategy mechanics, trade logs, various essays that I've written, and other podcasts that I recommend. Finally, you can follow me on X at The Trade Buster. That's it for today. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next time.